And this week, the FAA announced plans to require all drone operators to become licensed. This includes small recreational drones with cameras that are increasingly available and that can be flown with a smartphone. Toby Brusso is one of just a few people in South Dakota who is an FAA-licensed commercial drone operator. Brusso is also author of a book called I Am South Dakota, and he's capturing South Dakota in a new way, shooting the state's landscape and scenery with a drone and a high-end camera. And he joins us now from Rapid City. Toby, thanks so much for being on the program today.
Thanks for having me, Kara.
So I'm wondering what your opinion is about the proposed increased regulations.
Well, I do believe that it is a move in the right direction for drones.
Really?
I feel that, you know, there is some kind of a lack of common sense with a lot of people that own drones. They feel you can purchase a drone. I mean, anyone can get a drone these days, and they can fly it wherever they want. And this regulation is a step in the direction to tell people, okay, well, let's be a little careful. Let's try to kind of give users some common sense and put them in that kind of direction. Because it is a large responsibility flying a drone.
Okay, so let's, the figure I heard is that you can expect millions under Christmas trees in December.
Yeah, I mean, well, and what does that really mean? I mean, are we talking about little toy drones that you can fly in your living room? Or are we talking about big octocopter drones that can haul payloads? I mean, what does that actually mean? And what?
Octocopter.
Yeah, I mean, what is what are people actually going to be flying around your neighborhood? You know, and as technology becomes cheaper, and we have access to these devices, yeah, I'm sure you're going to see more and more of these. And that's why they're going to be doing this. It's just, hey, what are we going to do? You know, we're going to try to tell people, we're going to register them in case there are accidents, to hold people accountable for that. Because no matter what safety precautions are on drones, there are going to be accidents.
So paint me a picture. Tell me what your drone looks like and what is it like to fly?
Wow. That is a huge question as far as what it's like to fly. I'll paint you a quick picture. It's a quadcopter. Let me just back up real quick. Before I got my quadcopter, I bought a $50 drone for cheap. And I flew that for hours and hours, just so I could start wiring my brain, because I had very little experience in the RC field, the remote control field. Radio control, what it be. So I trained my brain, and after that, I started flying this high-end drone, and it was very good to do that, in my opinion, just so I could, you know, get used to it. So this quadcopter that I have, very powerful, very high-performance drone, and it has a camera on the bottom with a gimbal, so that keeps it from shaking and whatnot. And I have a remote control, and this remote control is tethered to a tablet, and the tablet gives me a real-time view, so I can take video and photos from this tablet, what I'm seeing. And this doesn't mean, though, that I'm flying all over and I'm flying over hillsides and I'm flying where I cannot see my drone. Quite the contrary. What I like to do, and what everyone does recommend, is you keep it in sight, you know, so you can actually see where it's flying.
So you keep an eye on your drone.
Absolutely.
You stay that close to it.
Absolutely. And I have somebody spotting me all the time because, you know, inevitably, if you're looking down at the tablet and you're looking up and trying to keep your eye, and you're combining that with trying to capture a photo or capture some scenery, it brings a lot of things into play. It's difficult. So what it's like to fly, at first, it's nerve-wracking. And I feel like when I'm going out, I go through a flight plan before, and try to follow that flight plan while I'm actually flying my drone. And even while I'm doing that, I get in situations, there's outside factors that affect your drone as well. So imagine you put your drone up and there's no wind at all. And then all of a sudden, there's 20 mile an hour winds. You know, there's different factors such as, you know, weather, outside circumstances that can affect your flying. There's distractions. It's not foolproof. So even after all this time that I've been flying, it is quite nerve-wracking. You know, you're not, especially if you're just not going up and down or left to right. You're trying to do different moves. You're trying to do different camera moves, and doing that while flying a copter, it can be difficult.
And but, so is this something that you have to keep, you know, you have to keep moving it so it stays in the air?
No, there's different safety precautions, and that's something that's going, that's something that's great about the technologies out there that, you know, the drone that I have, it has satellite lock. So you're sitting there and let's just say, for instance, I trip. Okay. I fall down in the woods and I'm operating my drone and the remote control flies out of my hands. If I have the satellite lock and I have done a pre-flight checklist and I have, you know, went through all the, you know, cross the T's, dot the I's, this drone is going to hover there and it's going to stay there, you know? And I also have a safety precaution as far as my battery. My battery says, okay, I'm at 30%. It gives me a beep, and it will not stop beeping. And it says, okay, at 20%, we're going to return to home. So there's these built-in safety factors that, let's say I drop the controller again. The battery runs out. 20%, it's going to rise up to a level where I deemed appropriate, whether, you know, depending on the landscape that I'm in. Let's say I'm on a flat field, or let's say I have some trees, and I say, okay, well, I want it to be 200 feet. So it raises to 200 feet, goes back to the last place where I took off via GPS, and it lands itself. So there's certain safety factors that are very good, and I think that's only going to increase as the technology gets better.
And so there's some issues over private landowners having concern about drones over their property. What do you think about that?
Well, it is pheasant hunting season. Pheasant hunting season. So I think these private landowners are justified with, you know, there's easy access to shotguns right now. So I'd be careful about flying over any private landowners at the moment. But as far as what I feel about it, yeah, I mean, you shouldn't be flying over there. You know, the places that I fly, I've cultivated relationships with people. I mean, that's across the board. Where you're going to fly, have permission. Be, you know, introduce yourself and say what you're doing and, you know, establish some kind of relationship. I mean, you're going to suffer some consequences if you fly over a private landowner with their property without asking permission. It's again, we go back to this common sense issue. And I think that's something that people need to get drilled into their heads. Hey, you know, you can't just fly over anything. Use your head.
What about drones going through over a wildfire? Is this a concern?
Oh, of course it's a concern. I mean, I think anybody listening to the news would realize that that is a major concern because, you know, you are obstructing someone that's not only trying to save lives, but you may endanger their lives as well. So I feel... Again, this is like it's a common thread we've been talking about.
But could it be used as a tool?
Absolutely. Let's actually talk about that. That's great.
Yeah.
In the future, absolutely right now. I mean, I think you're going to see them being used as a tool. I think there's going to be different situations, such as in disasters, where let's say there's a flood and you can't have a human walk a certain path and you're going to be able to put a drone up there to see which, you know, what part of the levee is stable or unstable, or maybe in a hazardous waste situation where humans cannot get close. Absolutely. And maybe even, in a fire situation before they have the main airplanes up in the air that are going to be slurry bombing and whatnot. Absolutely. I think that's going to be a big tool, but obviously to the people designated to handling the situations, not as somebody who's just trying to get the ultimate Hollywood blockbuster shot and post it on YouTube.
And drones are illegal in national parks? I didn't realize this.
They are. They are.
Should they be?
Well, let's talk about Yosemite or let's talk about Rushmore. Imagine if they weren't. and everyone has access to a drone right now. Oh. I think that would be kind of crazy, wouldn't it? I mean, I think everyone would want that photo from above, and there would be hundreds and hundreds of drones flying all over. So, yeah, they should be. I mean, it's crazy.
Well, I just am thinking just mine or yours, one, not, I
well,
guess,
yeah, but
50,000.
How do you do that? How
I
do you
know.
Do mine okay. or yours or one? I mean, it's just not realistic. That's why they say, hey, I mean, that's like going into the forest and being like, hey, I'm responsible with a campfire. Why is this illegal? Because everybody did it, then everything would right. burn down.
So it's kind of like selfie sticks at Disney World, right?
They're oh, come on. I love selfie sticks. I don't love selfie sticks. Yes, they can be banned. Yeah. Let's get rid of the selfie sticks.
So you're FAA licensed commercial drone operator. What did it take for you to get that?
It was a long process, you know, filling out documents, everything. Again, it goes through setting you up when you fill out this application and you fill out this long form about, wow, this is what you'll be doing. And this is how it should be done. And, you know, at first I was really frustrated because I'm like, this is ridiculous. This is, I can't believe I have to go through this. But as I sat there and it took me hour upon hour to go through the specifics of my aircraft and about what I was doing and how I should be going about it, it became more relevant. And I appreciated it in the end. And although it took a long time, I said, wow, okay, great. Pre-flight checklist. This is so important. And just trying to minimize the accidents, trying to minimize some things that may go wrong. And although you try to minimize it, in the end, hey, you know, accidents do happen. But going through this process, it was good because you try to minimize that.
Talk a little bit about the work that you're doing and the videos and pictures that you're creating.
So I was born and raised in South Dakota, wrote a book about South Dakota, did pictures, and, you know, I just have a really big passion for South Dakota. Years ago, I noticed this video, and it's called Soarin' Over South Dakota, and it related to my favorite ride in Disneyland, and it's called Soarin' Over California. And you get on this ride, and you are flying over the landscape of California, and it was, and still is, my favorite ride ever, because you see the state from this perfect vantage point, and it's just amazing. So I was like, you know what? I want to do something like that in South Dakota and get amazing footage, because I've lived here my whole life. I know where everything is. I know all these secret places where people don't know about, you know, regular people don't know about. So I'm going to do this before it gets crazy, before, you know, these 2 million drones get released at Christmas and everybody's trying to do it. And what I've come up with in the past year is a library of footage, just a library of great footage that I've cultivated through these relationships and being able to go on properties and being able to film different things. And I'm excited. I'm really excited to show people this. I'm really excited for, you know, the future to see what it brings. So right now I am, you know, I'm for hire, and I've been working on different projects with marketing and really showing how people can add a little bit of zest to whatever project they're working on through my artistic eye.
Well, Toby, I want to thank you for taking time and coming on Dakota Midday and giving us this perspective today. I really appreciate it.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thanks so much, Kara.
And I wish you the best. Thank you.
Thank you.
Toby Brousseau is one of just a few people in South Dakota who is an FAA-licensed commercial drone operator. You're listening to Midday on South Dakota Public Broadcasting.